All right. Welcome, 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 everyone. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, this is Tony's Political Ramblings. And so today I thought I would go into the Virginia governor's race for the year of 2021, as this is a race that nationally a lot of people have their eyes on. It pits a Democrat, Terry McAuliffe, against Republican, Glenn Youngkin, in a race that is more or less going to be a temperature check, a barometer on where the nation stands following the first little stretch of the Biden administration and the wake of the 2020 presidential election and all of that. And so this episode is going to be more informative to Virginia residents who have not voted yet, but by the way, early voting is already underway in the state of Virginia, and it is, and Election Day is obviously going to be November 2nd, but early voting runs from, I think, September 17th, which is already in the past, up until October 29th, I want to say. But you can go ahead and do that. So for the first part, it's going to be for people in Virginia who like to know more about their candidates. But for the second part, it's going to be people who are outside of Virginia who want to get a better idea on the ground what these two people are about, realistically. So really, the election breaks down, as I've mentioned, between two candidates. You have Terry McAuliffe from the Democrats, Glenn Youngkin from the Republicans. And then there is a third candidate, but she is pretty much irrelevant. And at this point, she's only going to take votes away from Terry McAuliffe. She is Princess Blanding, her name is, I believe. And she's polling at like 1% of the vote. So she's not going to win this race, but only can do damage in the grand scheme of things to the McAuliffe side of the argument here. So I'll just go ahead and start looking at these candidates now, McAuliffe and Youngkin. So let's get underway. So McAuliffe, this is a little biographical information here. He was born in Syracuse, New York, if that is of any relevancy. He's not from the state of Virginia initially. He has a very much a business background, though. He started it goes all the way back to the age of 14. So he has his hands in business all the way from when he was a young man at age 14 and all the way up until 2009 and right before he ran for governor. But intermingled with that was a political and financial background in terms of the political schemes. He was involved with the Carter campaigns and the Carter and the Clinton campaigns in the 70s and the 90s. He was involved with a lot of the Democratic Party fundraising pieces of things pretty much while he was moving through his business stages in his early part of his life. And so those two things have been intertwined with him, way back to the 1970s when he initially got started with the Carter campaign, as I said. And so those two things went hand in hand for a long way. And eventually he ran for governor in 2009 or 2008 in 2009. He lost the Democratic primary, he did get, I think, roughly 25% of the vote in that primary, which was good enough for him to try again and run in 2013, and he did, and this time he won. He won the governorship in 2013, and he was a governor from 2014 until 2018. And there were a lot of, he was generally viewed pretty positively. He had his approval rating never sank below, I think, 50%. He was generally well regarded and rode the wave from the Obama administration's second half. A lot of the recovery from the Great Recession. He in his campaign ads now, you see him claiming, a lot what he did as governor. And while it's true there were a lot of things he did do, he did also coast off of the national trends that were going on at the time. And so, he did benefit from that as well. And so he was generally seen as such a competent governor. He was well regarded by President Obama, and he, like I said, there were a lot of programs and things that he put in place that did benefit the state. And he was almost considered that he was considered to be a potential candidate for the 2020 presidential election. So, again, it's a pretty significant piece here. He must have done a pretty good job if people were thinking that he wanted, thinking that he should be in the highest office in the land. And so, when we get to his political opinions and views, it's very much what you would expect, given what I've said. He's from the business world, and he's a Democrat, so he's very much a middle-of-the-road sort of Democrat. Rides the party line, generally speaking. You know, he believes in man-made climate change and believes that things should be done to slow it and deal with the after effects. He owns guns himself, but he is a proponent of universal background checks. And he actually worked a deal with Republicans in the Republican-controlled state legislature at the time to prevent domestic abusers from owning firearms, which actually is an interesting point because the most common shared trait between you know, murderers who use weapons and things like use guns like that is that they were domestic abusers. That's one of the most common things you see. So by providing that limit, you cut down on a lot of gun violence deaths. And it's sort of a thing that, like, you know, your freedoms get restricted after you, you know, abuse your partner. That's fair enough. And so that was basically the idea. And Republicans in the state legislature agreed to this way back in McAuliffe's term, first term. So, you know, in abortion, he's very much opposed to the bills in Texas going around, or the laws in Texas, rather. You know, he's very much a pro-choice candidate. And again, like I said, very much party line, middle of the road, from a business and very practical background. He knows his way with the campaign finances, how to get donations, and overall how to be a good governor, as his popularity and his you know, trust seem to show, the trust in him seem to show. And so McAuliffe is coming into this 2021 campaign with a very solid track record, and just a very competent governor as far as we all can tell. He has because he's done it already. And another side note, actually. It's an interesting tweak interesting rule, rather, in the state of Virginia, is that if you are a governor, you cannot run for consecutive terms. It's a weird rule that we have in the state of Virginia where you have to alternate. So the only, you know, that's why McAuliffe did not run for re-election in 2018, but instead passed the torch to Ralph Northam, who is the current governor, and that's why he's running again. Now, so now we get to Youngkin. He's from Richmond, Virginia, so if that's any significance to people, he was actually born in the state of Virginia, if that's of any interest, I suppose. He's also very much from a business background. But whereas McAuliffe's business track record starts with a self-made business at the age of 14, Youngkin's is more of the corporate executive type business. Very much small business background that McAuliffe has, but very much the, as I said, the large corporate background that he has. It's actually interesting, he also played basketball at Rice University, where he attended undergraduate studies. He got a degree in mechanical engineering and an MBA, two things that are very much disconnected from politics. So he's not politically trained in any academic context. And so professionally, Youngkin continues to sort of bounce around a couple of other agencies, companies, until he lands at the Carlyle Group, which is a private asset wealth management corporation. It was just a company until it became a corporation under the time that Youngkin was working there. And so eventually he raises up to the level of a CFO and executive level positions like that. Eventually becomes co-CEO in 2017, and he stays there until 2020, where he retires from the Carlyle Group and moves into a nonprofit area, which was done for job training for for residents in the state of Virginia and beyond. Maybe it was a nonprofit that sort of hooked people up with the skills that they needed to get hired professionally, which, you know, that's pretty nice. But in 2021, he announced that he was running for governor. And because of his massive net worth, his campaign was almost entirely self-funded. He's somewhere to be worth in the neighborhood of $300 million, which is quite a chunk of change, to be honest. And so after having zero political experience, he decides that, you know what, I'm going to give this governor thing a shot. So he's been running, and he won the nomination earlier this year from the Republican side of things. And now he's head-to-head with McAuliffe. And just where he stands on a number of issues, if you were to put it broadly, he's a Trump candidate through and through. But because the state of Virginia is definitely a blue state at this point overall, and it's a state that Trump lost by 10 points in the 2020 election, he is disguising a lot of these Trump-esque arguments in more appealing and approachable terms. For example, I will use the abortion bill in Texas for an example. He is against the 6-week bill that the law that was passed in Texas, but he still is in favor of another bill at 20 weeks that bans abortions and make them illegal. So he's still very much anti-abortion, but he's doing it in a way that might be more palatable to suburban neighborhoods across the state of Virginia and independents who might not be too keen on banning abortion. So you also have a very strong attitude of his to be pretty much tearing down everything that McAuliffe and Northam did as governors over the last 10 years or so. For context for out-of-state viewers, Virginia was a red state through and through until probably the last 10, 15, 20 years, and it's shifted over to a blue one. And a lot of what's been done over those last 10, 15 years was very progressive, and now you have the Republican reaction to those things, meaning to get rid of them. And so the gun laws and background checks and deals that McAuliffe put in place to, say, for example, prevent domestic abusers to getting holds on firearms, Youngkin would want to do away with those. That said, he was not endorsed by the NRA because he failed to fill out their candidate survey. So he never got that that form filled out, so he never got the endorsement of the NRA. He's also very much opposed to vaccine mandates and mask mandates as well. And, you know, generally the sort of cut taxes without any consequence type, sort of appeal there. And you have, you know, he's very much he's concerned with election integrity and wants an audit into the election, even though it hasn't even happened yet. For a man who represents supposedly the people in rural Virginia, he is a man who's worked at a firm based in Washington, D.C., and he has lived in Northern Virginia for years. And so he's very much trying to, I think it's going to be an interesting take on this as well, because he's very much trying to balance the more Trump-pleasing rhetorical talking points with actual things that the majority of Americans want. And so I think when you look at this race between these two men, McAuliffe and Youngkin, you have two sides of the same coin type situation where, or maybe not that so much, but it's two men who come from business backgrounds, but are fundamentally different from one another in the paths that they chose to take their business backgrounds. You have McAuliffe, who stands up for the values of the Democratic Party. That includes protection for LGBT plus Americans, racial and ethnic minorities, and preventions, gun background checks, and prevention of deaths in that way, a strong social safety net, vaccines, masks, et cetera, et cetera. And you have Youngkin, who's taken the Trump route, full this sort of distrust in systems, this anti-government attitude, this very a refined Trumpism, I would say. It's a way of trying to make it more palatable, trying to make these crazy ideas that the Trump campaigns and administration had put forth and making them a little more acceptable. But through and through, the Youngkin campaign and the Youngkin organization still stands for the same things that the former President Trump did, a distrust in the electoral system, a distrust in medical science, in vaccine mandates, in mask mandates. These sort of things haven't gone away yet, and the Glenn Youngkin campaign is proof of that. And so it all this race is going to come down, it's going to show us where not only Virginia stands, but largely where the country will stand following this first year or so under the Biden administration. And it'll be interesting to see how things play out.